Hello, and thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Did you have another song you wanted to do? Or
just something real quick.
Okay.
So I know this might seem kind of silly, but how many of you guys know Jesus Loves Me, the kids' song?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hands?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, good. I'll tell you what, you guys just sing that with me here real quick. Because I was sitting alone in my living room, and it was getting all this stuff ready, and as the Lord was showing me what he wanted to do today. It kind of circled, full circle, back around to that song. To him, you're still his innocent, sweet little child that he knitted together in your mama's belly. So. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Worship doesn't have to be complicated, does it, brother? I want to thank all of you for supporting us prayerfully and financially, sending us to Haiti on a mission. I'd like you to come back Wednesday night. We're going to give a more detailed report. But even for the sake of time, Eric, you probably will just watch it. Time probably just show only about a minute this morning, because I do have a message I do have to give out this morning, okay? So if you could just show about a minute, minute and a half of a Haiti trip. And then Wednesday night, come back Wednesday night. And we'll share a lot more detail. Thank you. Thank you. Again, Wednesday night, come at 6:30. We're going to have a lot more wonderful detail and stories to tell you of what the Lord was to have done just a week ago. This morning, I want to go right into this message I believe the Lord has for us. It's decision time for us. As a church, as a people, we're at a fork in the road. We have to make a decision. I mean, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 61, and I know we make decisions all the time, but this is really a life decision on where you're going to go next. What's next? What's next for me? What does God have in store for my life? And at the end of this message, you're going to make a choice. Not a decision, but really a choice. Choose life, God's way, or choose death. Maybe a comfortable way or your way. God says in his word in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you." Everybody say amen. God has plans. And his plans have a hope for you. It's good things that he has in store. He also says in Ephesians 2:10, he says, "For we are his workmanship." God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, "for good works which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them." So long before we were even born, God Almighty had plans for our lives. Certain things that we would do, certain places we would be. Last week at this time, I was preaching at a church in Haiti through a translator. At the beginning of this year, I never had a thought about anything like that. If somebody would have come up and said, "The Lord says you're going to be preaching in Haiti in May at a church and such," I probably would have thought, well, they're either crazy or a real prophet. And lo and behold, it happens. And so that was part of God's plan. We don't know all the plans that God has for us. God's good plans are not just going to happen automatically. It requires our participation. Satan also has some plans for your life. And they're not good, but he has detailed plans. The Bible says in John 10:10, "The thief does not come except to steal, kill," and what? But Jesus said, "I have come that they may have" what? "And that they may have it more abundantly." And he's talking about the life of God. The only reason Satan messes with you is because you have something that he wants. He has come to steal from you, kill from you, and destroy from you reaching God's plans that God has planned for you. But Satan is not your greatest enemy. Not your greatest enemy toward finding, fulfilling, and following God's will. I'm going to show you an Old Testament example this morning. Go to Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. This is a very important Old Testament example of finding and fulfilling God's will. Prior to the death of Moses, who led people all the way up to the edge of the promised land, Joshua was his faithful assistant. Prior to Moses' death, he gave Joshua instructions how to cross over the river and how to take the promised land. That he was going to face enemies, but he's going to have to be strong and he's going to have to be courageous. Now, the incident we're about to read happened the night before Joshua led God's people over into the promised land. And this incident, this encounter, had to happen. Everybody say, it had to happen. It had to happen, or else it would have been a complete disaster for Joshua and the children of Israel. Now, let's read it quickly. "Now when Joshua was by Jericho," he's still on the other side of the river, "he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him. In his hand was a drawn sword." That means he's ready to fight. "Joshua went to him and he said, 'Are you for us or are you for our enemies?' And he said, neither. Everybody say, neither. I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I've come. And then Joshua fell on his face to the ground and he worshiped. Everybody say worship. And then he said, after he worshiped, then he said, what does my Lord wish to say to his servant? In other words, what would you like me to do? The commander of the army of the Lord said to Joshua, remove your shoes from your feet, because where you're standing right now is holy ground. And so the last four words are, you read it. You're going to make a decision today, a choice. Joshua did what the Lord said. Now, let's get right into this. This is very, very important. Who is this unidentified man? At first, you can go show the picture next. Go ahead and bring that up. At first, Joshua doesn't know, but this is a theophany, or the Lord in a pre-incarnate state. It's Jesus in a pre-incarnate state. But Joshua doesn't recognize it. He looks like a man. He's got a drawn sword. Who is Joshua in this story? Who would you say he is? Don't be afraid, not a trick question. He's the commander of the army of the Lord, amen? He's in charge. Moses put him in charge. He is the leader of God's people. He is the commander in charge of this invasion. Are you with me? Agree? That's who Joshua is, okay? He's in command. Now steps up an unidentified man. Joshua doesn't recognize him first. And this unidentified man is standing before him with a drawn sword. He's ready to kill somebody. How would you like it if all of a sudden you had a vision and a man standing before you, either with a gun or a drawn sword or a knife or something, he's standing before you? You know he means business. Somebody's going to die. Something's going to happen. Joshua does not at first recognize that this is the Lord in a pre-incarnate state. Whose side are you on? That's a legitimate question. Are you for us or are you against our enemies? I need to know because I got a sword too. Who are you? Who are you for? I'm not for you. I'm not for your enemy. Neither. For I am, are you catching on? I am the commander of the army of the Lord. And this is powerful. He's saying, I'm not here to bless your plans. I'm not here to bless the plans of your enemy. I'm here to take over from here. Are you listening, church? You're at a crossroads in your life. And today, there is one standing before you, not me. He's invisible, and he's right here, and the sword is drawn, and he's asking you this question. Or you're asking him that question. Who are you, and what are you here for? Are you for us or against us? Neither. I have plans for your life long before you were created. I have plans and good works and things established. That's why I gave you breath. That's why I gave you birth. That's why you were born in this country. That's why you were born in this time in history. That's why you were born in the family you were born with. That's why you were born with this or this or that going on in your life. The things you complained about, I have plans. I'm going to use all of this. I am the commander of the Lord's army, and I'm here to take over. From this point on. Now, you and I better recognize something today. There is a supreme commander. We have given him lip service. We've honored him with our lips, but our hearts have been far from him. We've served him with a form of godliness. We say he's the supreme commander. We say he's the Lord. But Jesus himself said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do what I say?" And we just kind of swipe that off as, well, he's a forgiving God. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. But he's got plans for your life. And it ain't going to happen automatically without your participation. Before Joshua could take the next step of the plans that God had for Israel, this issue, your issue, my issue, of who's really in charge has got to be settled here and now before you take the next step. Imagine you're standing there in the place of Joshua and you're facing something in your life with the Lord, some battle. Maybe Satan is opposing you in the area of your health, or maybe in the area of your finances, or your family, your marriage, life direction. And God believes that this one issue that you haven't been thinking about has got to be settled before he can give you the next step for your life. This one issue. He's not here to bless your plans. He's heard your prayers for years. You've been asking for the same thing, more money. Or fix this, or fix them, or fix that. You've been asking for things for a long, long time. He's not here to bless your plans. He's here to take over leadership. He's not here to bless this church. We're already blessed. He's here to take over. He's here to take over. He's the supreme commander. And you and I have to choose to recognize and acknowledge him and give him the honor that he deserves or not. First of all, you recognize him in the unfamiliar way that he's standing before you. You may not even know it, but there's a drawn sword. As if to say, I cannot let you, I cannot permit you to step into your future in the condition your heart is in right now. I cannot permit you. I will not permit you. I'm stopping you. You are not going to go into my will. You're not going to succeed. You're not going to fulfill my plans for you in the condition your heart is. I'm stopping you right where you are. Is anybody listening? Listen for the voice of God through my voice. First of all, you recognize him in the unfamiliar way he's standing before you in your circumstances. You're not going into the land of promise like this until you settle this issue once and for all, and it's going to be settled today one way or another. The issue of receiving orders directly from him. You were created to be spirit-led, not necessarily pastor-led or elder-led or mommy and daddy-led up to a point of your life. You are here to be spirit-led. God is the shepherd, you're the sheep, and he knows how to communicate to you, and he has a will for you, and he wants you to come to him to get your instructions. Counselor may be fine, but if the counselor's not in agreement with the word of the Lord, the counselor's no good. Pastor may be fine, but if the pastor's not in agreement with the word of the Lord, it's no good. Church may be fine, but if it's not in agreement with the word of the Lord, it's no good. Are you listening, church? God knows how to lead his people. He's known as the shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. And so once Joshua discerned, once he figured it out, once he went, whoa, this is God talking to me. This ain't a dream. This ain't a pizza dream. This is real. This is the Lord talking to me. Once he discerned that God was talking to him, look at what he said next in Joshua 5:14. Everybody say then. There has to be a then in your life. You have to have an encounter and then. You have to have an experience with God and then. You got to know God's will and then. You got to hear from God and then. Are you with me? You come to church and now there has to be a then in the church. Today there has to be a then. This is the then. Then. Joshua responded. He fell on his face to the ground and he worshiped. Oh, church, we have got a lot to learn about worship. Worship is surrendering to God and His will. We get to choose who we worship. You either worship God or you worship yourself in some form. And whoever you serve first is who you really worship. The next thing Joshua does is he asks the Lord a valid question. The next thing he says, Lord, what do you want from me? Go ahead and ask God that question right now. Lord, what do you want from me? That's important. I mean, seriously, don't just say it. Ask God. He's been waiting for you. You say, I've been asking that for a long time. And if you haven't got an answer yet today, it's going to be revealed why. You might be saying, well, God, I've been asking you all my life. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to do? And I haven't heard anything. Do you know why? Say no. Because you haven't worshiped first. God cannot reveal His will to an unsurrendered heart. You haven't come to that place where you've fallen on your face before the Lord and acknowledged Him as God Almighty. He has all rights and privileges. I'm here to serve at His pleasure and serve His purposes. I acknowledge Him and I acknowledge Him only as my Lord, my Shepherd, my God, my Savior, the one who's given me breath, the one who's given me life, the one who's predestined me, the one who's ordained my steps, the one who's on the throne of my life, the one who I just sang about as the center of my life. And when you worship, after you worship, now He can talk to you. Now, what do you want me to do? Okay, well, I can tell you now. I couldn't tell that old person before who was unsurrendered because they hadn't worshiped yet. Oh, I saw them going into church and singing songs and lifting their hands and taking communion and doing all the stuff that religious people do, but they never worshiped me. Worship is surrender at the root. The bottom line of worship is we surrender. Not my will, Your will be done, God. Even if I don't know what that is. Abraham worshiped when he went up on the mountain, not understanding the will of God and the whys and the what fors and all that. And he took the knife and he was getting ready to plunge it into his son. He worshiped. There wasn't any band playing, wasn't any music. He worshiped because he surrendered everything. He surrendered. And so the reason that you and I are not going to find or maybe haven't found out what our next step is because we haven't worshiped first. The worship that God desires. Are you with me? What do you know about worship? I mean, the worship that God desires from us. The worship that God desires from us is very simple. Number one, that we recognize Him. I mean, we recognize Him as God Almighty. We acknowledge Him. We reverence Him. We're in awe of Him because we know Him. And there are times we're just going to be still before the Lord like we were a few moments ago. Just be still and know that I am God and reverence Him. To worship God, you don't have to say a word. You just reverence Him. Acknowledge Him. He has plans. He's God Almighty, King of the universe. He has plans for your life before you were born. We are here to serve at His pleasure. If He says, be a garbage man, I'm going to be a garbage man. But that's my calling. If He says, be a carpenter, I'm going to be a carpenter. That's my call. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Serve His people. Yes, sir. See, when we don't know His plans yet, listen, church, if you don't know and you've been asking God, what are Your plans for me? It could be that you do have not yet worshiped Him as the supreme commander. Oh, you've worshiped Him to a degree, but not as the supreme commander. Joshua had to recognize that he really wasn't in charge. He was under one who is in charge. And he had to learn, I have to get my orders from you. And as long as Joshua went to God before every battle that was facing him, and he would say, now, Lord, do we go up or do we not go up? And he would get instructions from the Lord. As long as he listened to God, he had great success. But when a time he just presumed to know the will of God and didn't go to God for directions and didn't wait to hear from the Lord, then he met with disaster. Can anybody say, oh, I can identify with that? So what do we do? Well, we know that we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice on a daily basis, Romans 12:1. And we present it on like a burning altar. Imagine an altar here that's burning with the fire of God. And when we worship God, we burn with God's holy fire. Our God is a consuming fire. And as we worship, we're surrendering things. We're surrendering bitterness. We're surrendering unforgiveness. We're surrendering the things in our life that don't agree with God. They're being burned up on an altar of just worship. Worship itself can change you. Our God's a consuming fire, and we stay there in worship. We stay there in worship until he speaks to us, and then he tells us, now, this is what I want you to do. And after the worship has purified our hearts and purified our agendas, now God can safely reveal. He couldn't before. Now he can safely reveal our next step that he has planned for our lives. Now that we're on the altar, now we're truly worshiping and we're giving God the brokenness of our heart. We're giving God a surrender life. Now he can reveal to us, like Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ now can live in me. Christ now can live through me. Christ now can flow through me. Christ now can speak through me. Christ now can touch people through me. Christ now can live his life through me, because I have brought myself to a place of a burnt offering on the Lord. That's not a once-in-a-lifetime experience. That's a continual thing. Now he can safely reveal what his next step is from us. And here, the strangest thing, you would never think this on your own. What's the first thing the Lord tells Joshua after Joshua fell on his face and he worshiped God? Now, he's waiting. Now, Lord, what would you have me do? And God says this. He says, just take your sandals off. Take them off. Take them off. Okay. Now, Joshua could have said, well, Lord, I don't understand. Now, you explain to me first why you want me to take my shoes off, then I'll do it. And that's what we do sometimes. Something sounds strange to us, and we say, well, Lord, if you explain it to me, I'll do it. And the Lord says, no, I don't explain things to your liking. I'm in charge and you work for me. Understand? And so God will challenge you by giving you your instructions to do something that doesn't make any sense to you whatsoever at first. I'm glad it's raining, because now I have no pressure or time on me preaching. I'm going to preach as long as I want to until I'm done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for... If you want to go get baptized, you go ahead and get baptized. Yeah. And so he says, remove your shoes. There's a reason God does things. He doesn't just do things for the dramatic effect. He does it for a reason. So he said, take your shoes off. What's God trying to communicate here? Imagine what you'd do if you didn't have feet. You ever thank God for your feet? You ever try to walk in beach sand without feet? You'd be stuck, wouldn't you? Your feet represent your walk or steps in life you're to take. God is speaking to Joshua in very specific but clear terms. Bible says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He's saying to Joshua, from here on out, I'm in charge, and I'll tell you where to place your feet. I'll direct your steps. I'll say, go this way, go that. You'll have to look to me, and you're not in charge of your feet anymore. I am. I'll direct your walk because I have great plans for you. Are you listening, church? Right now, if you can, physically, just slip off your shoes for a moment. Because the place you're sitting and the place your feet are is holy ground. If you can. And if it's too much trouble, don't worry about it. I'm just doing this right now to help you understand the Lord's talking to us. God is speaking to us. See, when we worship, we sometimes think it's coming to a building. It's singing songs to God, and that can be part of it. Or it's, you know, giving, amen, Lord, amen. I like it when God amens you, amen. Or you come and you give money to the church. Well, it can be a form of worship, but that's not what it's all about. Or you may come and you may serve. You may work in the food ministry. You may work at the altar. You may serve as an elder or an usher or a greeter or something like that. And you serve with a little bit of your time. But that's a part of it, but that's not what God's after. Worship is when you remove your shoes and you surrender the rest of your life, the rest of your walk for His plans. And you say, Lord, You direct my next step even without me knowing the details. That's worship. The worship that God desires is a surrendered life. Holy ground. Holy ground is not a church building, but it's the place in your life where you are surrendering to the will of God at that moment. This week, when you go out and you give out these little cards, simple cards of invitation, you're inviting someone to your church that you believe in, that you get fed from, you get help from, and you give them a card. I'd like to invite you to my church. That spot is holy ground. Why? Because you surrendered to the will of God. You know the will of God. And the will of God is to get people to come to God's church to hear the gospel or to come to Jesus. And so that's holy ground. When you're doing the will of God, when you're surrendering to the will of God, a few weeks ago, when all this trip about Haiti came about as a result of a dream that God gave me Easter morning and meeting a lady and honoring this missionary and all of that, and how it came to pass was the will of God. And then when we spontaneously started stepping in that direction, every step of that was holy ground. God's provision came in abundantly. Every need was abundantly supplied without being a burden to the church. Everything was taken care of. Why? It was holy ground. It was ground where someone said, I surrender to your will. I don't understand it all, but I surrender to your will. The Bible says we may make our plans, but God directs our path. We may make our plans, but the Lord establishes our steps, Proverbs 16:9. Also, the scripture says in Psalm 32, verse 8, He says, I will instruct you. God's saying, I will instruct you, and I'll teach you in the way that you're to go. Now, is that just poetic language just put in there to make us feel good, or does God really mean that? I believe He really means it. So we should go to Him. We should be expecting from Him. We should be waiting upon Him. If we don't have any direction yet, we worship. If we still don't have any direction, we worship. We don't have any direction yet, we worship. Because there's something in our lives He's trying to get us to surrender that maybe we haven't surrendered yet. And we worship and we worship and we worship and we worship. We fall on our faces before the Lord and we acknowledge that He's God Almighty, the King of the universe. There's no one like Him anywhere. He's God Almighty, raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. An incredible mystery that we'll never comprehend. He's God Almighty, and I bow before Him. I submit to Him. I surrender to Him. I don't understand everything about Him. I'll never understand everything. He's too great for me to understand, but I worship Him, I honor Him, and I obey what He tells me to do. Ooh, boy, when I listen for Him, I wait upon Him. I don't hear anything. I wait, be still. And at His pleasure and at His time, He'll say something to you. Maybe in a dream like He did to me, go to Haiti. Maybe through a scripture. Maybe through a challenge like through Brother Phil last week. Go out, folks, and share the gospel. It's God's command. His commission's on your life. His power's on you to do it. And we hear it. Yes, sir. We've heard the Lord through preaching. We have heard so much preaching, we don't remember 99% of it. You can say amen. Won't offend me. So when are we going to worship? Someone asked me, Pastor, what time does worship begin at your church? I said, I don't know. Whenever the people surrender. Yeah. Isn't it 10:30 on Sunday morning? No, sometimes it is and sometimes it ain't. Sometimes people never worship. And then sometimes they worship as soon as they walk in the door. They're on their faces before the Lord. They're surrendering. They're yielding. They're listening. And then worship happens. Are you listening? So today I tell you this. I've come today for one thing. And I think the message is clear. You have to settle this one thing in your life. And I have to settle this one thing in my life of who's really in charge. God's challenging me today, challenging you. Whose lead are you going to follow? He'll never force you. But He does stand before you with drawn sword and saying, I can't let you go any further until you settle this issue once and for all. Of who I am to you. Am I the Lord God Almighty? Am I in charge of your life? Or is that just something ceremonially you say to sound like a Christian? And once that's decided, ladies and gentlemen, then, everybody say then. There has to be a then in worship. Then you begin to live the exciting life of being led by the Spirit of God. Then God reveals you to you your next step. Even that one you may not understand. But if you're worshiped, if you've surrendered, then you'll do it even though you don't understand. Just like Joshua. He took off his shoes. He didn't understand. But that's what the Lord said. So he's already surrendered. So he did it. And then after that, crossing over in the promised land, they had victory after victory as long as they were led by the Lord. And the victories they didn't have is because they presumed to know the will of the Lord rather than going to the Lord and find out what His directions were. Spirit-led adventure begins. You don't need to know all the details of your life. I've been asking God lately about, you know, His will, what's next, and all this kind of stuff. And He has not given me any details yet that I'm aware of. You only need to know your next step. And that's a choice. It's either yes to God's will or no to God's will. Now, I suggest something here today that I would like to see happen, but I believe the Lord would like to see happen. And not for show, not to make me feel good. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. Okay. And that is, I believe in just a few moments that God would like every one of us to bring our bodies up here to this altar in some form and worship. Worship Him. Acknowledge He's God Almighty. Who am I to question You, Lord? Who am I to doubt You? Who am I to even stand before You and breathe Your oxygen? I come to worship You and surrender the rest of my life, whatever that may be, I'll surrender it to You and stay there until you worship. God may reveal to you while you're there in worship your next step. He may not. But I see that everybody should come to this altar, remove your shoes if possible, give God your feet in essence and say, my walk is now Your walk. I'll walk the path You give me, God. You direct my feet, and I will walk the walk that You called me to, meaning to direct my steps. All right. Everybody stand up for a moment. Flying back on the airplane, if you've flown an airplane lately, you probably heard something like this, pre-flight instructions. The stewardess grabs a microphone, and she says a lot of things about your seatbelt and your, you know, if the plane crashes, you, don't worry, you've got a flotation device, your seat. Isn't that comforting? Hallelujah. And my wife just grabbed a hold of that thing. She said, man, I'm holding on to that. I said, well, that's good. And then she'll say something like, if there's a drop in cabin pressure on oxygen, an oxygen mask will drop down from the overhead compartment above you. Be sure to help small children and others before adjusting your own mask. How many of you have heard this before? I just tricked every one of you. That was a trick question. Say bad pastor. Bad pastor. Yeah. I tricked you. She doesn't say that. She doesn't say, be sure to help small children and others before adjusting your own mask. She says, be sure you adjust your own mask before you help small children or other people. There's a lesson in that. Are you listening? Husbands, you're the leader of your family. You're the pastor of your wife, your children. Mom, you're also a co-pastor of your family. It is your responsibility and yours alone to make sure that you worship God first, yourself, before you can help anybody else worship God. Are you with me? This is the message of the Lord today. I believe this is a lot more serious than I even understand. And I urge you to take it seriously. Not in fear, but in reverence. That you're here to hear this message today, and you've heard the voice of God through my voice. And God is talking. Now, I'm going to ask you, not for show, just for you and God, to come to this altar, take your shoes off, and worship God in surrender. Ask Him to direct your life, the rest of your life, however long, how many days you have, so that you'll serve at His pleasure, that you'll find yourself surprisingly at the right place at the right time, that you trust God so much to direct your path, you will not worry about the future, but you'll surrender. You surrender your feet. You surrender your heart first and then surrender your walk. For the rest of my life, God, this is what I'm doing this day. Mark it down in eternity. Mark it down on a calendar at home. This day, on this date, I had an encounter with God. I worshiped. I surrendered the rest of my life in His name. I fully expect Him to direct my path. I fully expect Him to direct me, put me in the right place at the right time. Now, in silence, just worship for a moment. Just worship.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.